Good morning, everyone. I'm sure that we are happy to be in God's house on this blessed day, this rest day, this test day. It's a beautiful day. We had rains yesterday, actually for the week. We are having sunshine now. And so we are happy to be here this morning to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I am happy to be sharing in your education week. I'm not a teacher by profession as you hear. I am a dental nurse by profession. But part of my job, I teach. And I want to say congratulations to all those educators, those lovely ladies that are coming down, who look like them just ready to teach and said and retire. So congratulations to you who have made your mark and those of you who are making your mark in education. And you know, I love the Seventh-day Adventist Church. How about you? Yes, man. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is a rounded church. It not only takes care of the spiritual, but it takes care of the physical, the mental, the moral, and the educational. Now, we recognize that education is a very vital and important role for everyone. It is the gateway to inculcate those ideas that will impress the mind and heart with the knowledge required to function in this life. It will bring us status, possessions, positions, and cause us to go to many other places. But the best education that one can have is the knowledge we gain about our Creator, our Redeemer, and our friend, Jesus Christ. Ellen G. White, in her book, Messages to Young People, states, and I quote, "Those who are seeking to acquire knowledge in the school of earth should remember that another school also claims us as students, the school of Christ. From this school, the students are never graduated. Among the students are the young and the old who give heed to the instruction of the divine teacher and who are constantly gaining more wisdom of nobility of soul and thus are prepared for the highest school, where advancement will continue through eternity. We, as children of God, will never stop learning. This is the education that we all should seek." My hope for us as we celebrate this education week past, and today is our education day, that we'll always seek to be educated at the feet of Jesus. Let us bow our heads for prayer. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful privilege to stand to speak to your people. Pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart will be acceptable in your sight, for Jesus' sake. We are under the theme, Home, School, and the Church, Partners in Training for the Kingdom. We're going to begin by taking a closer look at the root words in the topic under consideration for today. The home, a dwelling place used as a permanent or semi-permanent residence for individuals or families. It is often a house, apartment, or any other building where there are more secure dwellings are not available. People may live in informal and sometimes illegal shacks found in slums and shanty towns. And if we looked at the news this week, on Thursday, I think, we were looking at a documentary on the places in the downtown region. I don't know how many of us saw the news and the kind of houses that those persons are living in. Those are just broken buildings. But in those broken buildings can be persons who are educated for Jesus Christ. They should not be left out. Home, though, more generally, may be considered to be a geographic area, such as a town, a village, a suburb, a city, or a country. Now, when we leave Jamaica and go to somewhere else, we are happy to say we want to go back home. And when we get back to Jamaica, we want to say, I am happy to be home. So we can look at our country, Jamaica, as a home. Now, home for me is any place where we feel warmth, acceptance, and love from every member of the family. Do you agree with me? A place where God is first, last, and best in everything that we do. It should be a place where the family prays together so we can stay together. And we see that we have come to live in a society now where the homes are so broken and dismantled. But guess what? If we bring back God and educate ourselves the way He wants us to be, then our homes will be a place where we can gather together and worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He can accept us as His children. School is an educational institution consisting of several grades or classes or instructions of persons under college age. It can be an institution within or associated with a college or university that gives instruction in specialized fields and recommends candidates for degrees. And we all would want to have a degree. But no matter what the degree we have on this earth, the best degree to have is the degree in Jesus Christ. School provides an education to develop the harmonious physical, mental, and moral powers of an individual, preparing us for living in this life. But it also should be a place where we all can learn of the will of Jesus and be prepared to live in the world to come. Church, we often more than not say, we refer to the building as the church. But a building cannot be a church if there are no people in that church. So a church, therefore, is a body of Christian believers professing the same creed and acknowledging the same ecclesiastical authority under God. We all share together as a people. We, the people, are the church. We are going to look at partnership. Simply put, a partnership is an agreement in which parties agree to cooperate and advance their mutual interests. In the theme that we have for meditation today, partnership for me is a collaboration that involves the home, that is parents and other family members, the school, teachers, school administrators and other educators, and the church, believers of Christ, to herald an effective way to reform and improve our lives as we seek to work together harmoniously. Often, though, this undertaking is very complex. But with Christ in the vessel, we can smile at the storm. We see that trouble is in the home. Trouble is in the school. Trouble, I should say, is in the church. Everywhere we go is trouble, trouble, trouble. But if we were to look at what God requires of us and do it, then together we would have harmonious working in preparation for the kingdom of God. Home, school, and church must come together to build shared vision among families. Effective partnership includes a commitment to an understanding of mutual relationships and goals, a jointly developed structure and shared responsibility, mutual authority and accountability for success, and sharing of resources and reward. What am I saying? If we all work together in the home, the churches, the schools, we are sure to reap good success. And this will reflect mutual trust and understanding among our people to achieve our goals, which we could not, together we'll achieve that goal, the goals which we could not achieve independently. We all have to work together to achieve that goal. Home, school, and church partners generate and prioritize desired outcomes for their work together and develop a vision that reflects those outcomes. What are the desired outcomes that we are looking at, that we are talking about? We are talking about the three partners to have members trained and prepared for the kingdom of God. As we read in our scripture, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And there is wisdom in partnering to achieve the goal for the kingdom of God. We cannot achieve the goal for the kingdom if we do not have that joint unity and work together from every angle to make it to the kingdom of heaven. Let us recognize that the first training ground and school for individuals seeking to be a part of the kingdom of God is the home. This is where one will learn the songs of Zion, learn to pray and worship together, learn to share the word of God with each other, and to exercise and appreciate respect for time alone with God. This then will make the work and the effort of school and church easier to partner with in the training of all of us for the kingdom of God. So one cannot work without the other. And as I said before, the home is the most important place because that's where we begin. Unfortunately though, the homes today have broken families, broken dreams, broken altars, broken educational system. Everything seems to be broken and broken. And the broken altars that we have in our homes today, we need to repair them. Because if home and school and church is partnering in training for the kingdom, then the broken altar of prayer needs to be repaired. Prayer, it is said, is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. We don't need any fancy arrangement of prayer. No big words, no long drawn out repetition. We just need to be thankful to God and offer praise and adoration to Him. Some people believe that we have to have these highfalutin words when we are speaking to God. We speak to God with respect, but we speak to God as we are speaking to a friend. He hears, He knows, and He understands. Our homes, our churches, and our schools and society will be a much better place if we were a praying people. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17 says that we are to pray without ceasing. And James 5 verse 16 says that we are to confess our faults to one another and pray one for another that we may be healed. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. On our knees, it is said, we are taller than trees, and we are mightier than 10,000 armies. Let us talk to God the very first thing every morning. Let us talk to Him all through the day, and let us talk to Him the last thing before we sleep at night. You know, sometimes we don't even get up out of our beds. A telephone call is waking us up. We can't even say, Lord of mercy, thank you, Jesus. But we ought to make ourselves available to God in such a way that the first person we speak to in the morning when we turn around and see that our eyes are open and we have breath to breathe is to say, thank you, God. And once we take on that attitude, I'm telling you, we'll be well on our way to the kingdom of God. If home, church, and school is partnering in training for the kingdom, then the broken altar of faith needs to be repaired. We have become a faithless set of people. We complain and we complain and we complain. We don't recognize the big and wonderful God that we serve. And let us recognize that anywhere we want to be educated, anyhow we want to be educated, it can only come through the power of God in our lives. Faith, according to Hebrews 11 verse 1, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. With faith, we look forward to the coming of Christ to put an end to all the calamities that are happening in this world. So as we live in this world, let us educate ourselves to live here. But I am imploring us, my brothers and sisters and friends, let us also be educated to live in the kingdom of God. We must repair the altar of faith by getting it right with God, by staying right with God, and by helping others to do the same. For without faith, church, it is impossible to please God. No matter how educated we may become, no matter how many degrees we may have, if we do not have God, we have nothing. If home and church and school is partnering in training for the kingdom, then the broken altar of the study of God's word need to be repaired. Gone are the days when Seventh-day Adventists are known as people of the word. Many of us are barely hanging on to what we hear. We can quote some scriptures, but we have no idea where they are found, so that we can defend ourselves and say what we believe. Our Sabbath school quarterlies are one way that we have an organized study each week. But do we study? Oh no. I am the Sabbath school superintendent in my church, and I can tell you, some Sabbath mornings people are just there. When we take the report, did you study this week? No. I can't understand that we can call ourselves Seventh-day Adventist Christians and we don't study the Word of God. We don't have to read the Bible from front to back. We don't have to sit down and read it in that organized way. But as a dynamic church, the dynamic church that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is, we make it that we have a quarterly study that helps us to know more about the Word of God. Sometimes persons just glance over it on a Friday night and come to church on Sabbath morning to say they have studied. If we don't get up and from day to day, morning to morning, have a time set aside in communion with God, then we are not doing anything yet, church. We can't look at our quarterlies on a Friday evening and say on Sabbath morning that we studied for the week. That is no study at all. A study means you do it from day to day. Day to day. When we are going to school for our academics, do we study the night before exam? Not at all. I don't think so. We prepare ourselves. We work hard. We drink. Oh, I was just going to say we drink coffee, but we shouldn't be drinking coffee. Some people drink coffee to keep themselves awake. All night reading and studying and preparing. Why can't we do the same as it relates to the Word of God? This is what is going to help us in our partnership as we prepare for the kingdom of heaven. So studying the Word of God, looking at the Word of God on a Friday night is not studying the Word of God. Doing it once a week is not studying the Word of God. We ought to be consistent. The same effort we put into our secular lives is the same effort we should put and more into our spiritual lives. God wants a people who are a people of the Word, a people who can defend the Word, a people who can live by the Word, and a people who can help others to live by the Word. We are admonished by Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 verse 15 that we ought to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. If we are going to be educated, let us be educated with the Word of God. If we are going to be educators, let us know the Word of God, accept the Word of God, and educate others with the Word of God. The whole duty of man, it is said, is to fear God and keep His commandments. That is our whole duty. And though God expects us to do all the things necessary to live in this world, we must recognize that we ought also to be prepared to live in the kingdom of God. What would it profit us to gain this entire world of all sorts of degree and diplomas and whatever it may be to educate ourselves, and in the end we lose our way to the kingdom of God? That is not wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of that wisdom. It is time that we all look around us and realize that Jesus is coming soon. The signs, let me see the hands of those who don't see that Jesus coming yet. Okay, no hand. It simply means that we are all seeing the signs that are telling us that Jesus is right at the door. What are we doing to meet Him? Are we just educating ourselves to live in this world? Or are we educating ourselves so that when Jesus comes, we can hear our names called and go home to live with Him? What are we doing? If there is brokenness in the home, like it is in the society, then the church and the school will automatically be affected. Because everything as it relates to learning begins at home. So if there is nothing in the home, then there will be nothing in the schools, and there will be nothing in the society. We will all be a people of confusion. And if we look around us and what is happening with us today, we see that we are really in confusion. Morning and afternoon devotion is very important. And what we realize is that this is no longer important in schools. If a child in school don't want to participate in devotion, so be it. We have come to that place where even in our very homes, we too, who call ourselves Christian, just get up and we have a rush prayer, if we have any at all. And then we're rushing, and we're doing everything in our secular world, fine and quiet, all right, and we can't stop to say thank you, Jesus. And you know, church, I believe that we ought to be thankful to God, especially in this time. Because guess what? When you leave your house in the morning and go out to work and you get back in the evening, you must say thank you, Jesus, based on what is happening now. All the things that are happening around us today, the brokenness, the bitterness. Right now where I work in the Denham Town community, we all hear it on the news what is happening down there. It is a tense day when we are there. I have been working in that community for the past 24 years. And can I tell you, that community basically, we are to say, is the same over and over. Sometimes it gets quiet, sometimes it settles down. But basically it's the same thing. And you know, church, if we were to use education and help those persons, I am sure we would have a better society. If a child does not want to worship, then he or she can be excused from devotional activities. No wonder the world is like it is today. No God in our society, then we will have no peace. And it is said, there can never be any peace until God sits at the conference table. But I'm going to say this morning, church, there will never be any peace in this world until God is brought back to our families, to our homes, to our schools, to our churches, so that as we work together, we know that everybody will not make it into the kingdom of God because of the choices that we make. But as best as is possible, let us help others to recognize who God is and what He can do for us in preparation for the kingdom of God. Yes, we look at it to say there's no peace in the homes, none in the school, and we want to come to look at the church as a safe haven. But can I tell you, church, these days the church is in the same predicament. Yes, we have a lot of fussing and fighting within ourselves, among ourselves in the church. Who for what position? Who for where? And if you don't get a position, X and Y and Z. But let me tell you something, church. The best position to fight for is a position to go to the kingdom of heaven. That is the only place where a position will be important. And it cannot be unless God is working with us. We can't make it to the kingdom of heaven without the help of God. So we have become so formal in our church service worship. We come to church every Sabbath morning, and like a motion, we know that it's 9:15, and we worship until divine service is done. Then we go have our lunch. Then we do our, those of us who come back for Bible class at 3:30, and then after 3:30, 4:30, AY starts, and then after AY finishes, then we have Vesper, and then we go home, and some of us are pulling down the sun because we want the Sabbath to be done. Yes, man, on a Friday evening, man, we want to keep the sun up, hold it up a little more, make us get to do some more work. And Sabbath evening, pull down the sun quick so that the Sabbath can be done. Church, if we have to work together, God must be in the mix. Must be in the mix. He cannot be left out. So we have become so formal in our worship. It's as if nowadays the worship means nothing. So we go to church on a Sabbath. We may go on a Wednesday night. We may go on a Sunday evening evangelistic meeting. But everything is just so formal. And we are just in a form of godliness. But we don't have that real deep spirituality with Jesus Christ. Church, it is time for us to wake up and realize that Jesus is coming. And we ought to be more vigilant in our spirituality so that we can be prepared for the kingdom of God. Some of us have no reverence in church anymore. No reverence for duty. No reverence anywhere. And it takes away from us being the example to those who are out there to bring them to Jesus Christ. We do what we want to do. We live as we like. We behave as we like. We eat as we like. There's hardly any difference now between Christians, those who call themselves Christian, and the persons in the world. When we are children of God, when we are working together, when we are partnering together for the kingdom of God, there must be a marked difference in those of us who say we are children of the King of Kings. There must be. The way we live, the way we eat, the way we talk, the way we speak, there must be a difference. Somebody must say, yes, there goes a child of God. Unfortunately, it is not so. But today, on this our education day, I am imploring us, let us purpose in our hearts that homes and schools and churches will form a partnership that will prepare every living soul for the kingdom of God. If they don't go there, let it not be our fault. Let it be their fault of not accepting. But let us do our part as children of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, so that men and women can come to know Jesus as we partner together for the kingdom of heaven. As we partner together, like the African martyr, let us make this hardcore commitment and purpose in our hearts and minds to make it to the kingdom of God. Let me see the hand of anyone in here who don't want to go to the kingdom of God. And I wouldn't want to think I would see any hand. Because guess what happened? That's why you are here this morning. That's why I'm here this morning. We want to have a closer communion, a closer walk with God, so that one day, not long from now, we may be able to hear the blessed well done. So like the martyr, let us purpose in our heart with this hardcore commitment. I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I have the Holy Spirit's power. The die has been cast. I have stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I am a disciple of Christ. I won't look back. I won't let up, slow down, back away, or be still. My past is redeemed. My present makes sense. My future is secure. And our future can only be secure when we are educated in Jesus Christ. I'm finished and done with low living, sight walking, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed vision, worldly taking, cheap giving, and dwarfed goals. On our knees, we are taller than trees. And none of us should have any smooth knees in here, because we should be constantly on our knees to Jesus Christ, especially as we come to live in a time like this. I am no longer in need of preeminence, prosperity, position, promotion, plaudits, or popularity. It's good to be popular, church, but it's good to be popular only in Jesus Christ. Yes, we can be lauded and plauded for what we do and what we achieve in this world. But the best achievement we can have is to achieve Jesus Christ as our Savior and our friend. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be first. I don't have to be tops. I don't have to be recognized. I don't have to be praised. I don't have to be rewarded or regarded. I now live by faith, lean on His presence, walk by patience, and uplifted by prayer, and I labor with power for Jesus Christ. My face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions are few. My guide is reliable. My mission is clear. And my mission and your mission should be the one that we should all have. Let us learn at the feet of Jesus and teach others the way of Jesus. I cannot be bought, compromised, detoured, lured away, turned back, deluded, or delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice, hesitate in the presence of the enemy, ponder at the pool of popularity, or meander in the maze of mediocrity. I won't give up. I won't shut up. I won't let up until I have stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, and preached up for the cause of Christ. I am a disciple of Christ. Let us all say that, church. I am a disciple of Christ. And if we are disciples of Christ, then we are all going to partner together. Now, regardless of our status in life, regardless of our station in life, every single one of us at the end of the day are equal at the foot of the cross. I must go until Jesus comes. It is my duty to go and tell. It is my duty to help others to know Jesus Christ. I will give till I drop. I will preach till all shall know about Jesus Christ. I will work until he stops me. And when he comes for his own, he will have no problem recognizing me, because my banner would be clear. I have worked for Prince Emmanuel, and I am now hearing, blessed, enter into the kingdom of my Savior. All of us want to hear those words. All of us want to hear, well done. We don't only want to hear the well done in this life, but the best well done that we could ever hear is the well done from the lips of Jesus Christ. As we conclude our education week, as we conclude our education day today, let us recognize that the best school to go is the school of Jesus Christ. The best education we can have is to learn of Jesus Christ. And the best way to be educators is to learn of Jesus and go forth and educate others. May God help us today, my brothers and sisters, my friends and loved ones. And if there's anyone here today who have not yet made that partnership with Jesus Christ, I implore you to do so before it is eternally too late. May God help us as we work together, school and home and church, partnering together for the kingdom of heaven. Have a wonderful and blessed Holy Sabbath day.